encourage us to not withhold the praise that he is worthy of. Amen? Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day to our mothers today. And see a few of you out here. And thank you all for being part of our service this morning. It's good to see each of you here today. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me. We're going to start in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. We're going to read there in just a moment. I've entitled the message this morning, Giving Honor Where It's Due. As you're turning there, I just want to just take a moment to acknowledge we've had four Bible college students attending with us this year. Two of them are homegrown, but Riley and Cooper, but we've also been blessed to have Lexi and Ethan here with us this year, and we just want to say thank you guys for being part of our church, and they're headed home this week. School's wrapping up, and we pray Lord's blessing upon you as you go home, but I just want to say thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being part of this body, and know that even though you may be gone this summer, you're still part of us. Amen. And so we're here for you guys, and we love you and pray God's blessings upon you. Amen. We just give them a hand for being part of us this year. Amen. Amen. We love these young people, and I know we'll see Coop and Riley around this summer, right? Okay. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Again, I titled the message this morning, Giving Honor Where It's Due, and we will be honoring our mothers today, and we have some things for you to take as you leave today. But I told Cheryl, I said, I don't know that this is going to be a typical Mother's Day message. And she's like, well, what's a typical Mother's Day message? And I said, well, I don't know. So it's not really what we've done in the past, but I do believe, I'm a big believer that we need to honor people, that we need to honor, give honor where it's due, amen? How many of you ever been to a wedding? A few of us were at one a few weeks ago, right? What happens towards the beginning of the wedding as the father walks the bride down the aisle? In our culture, anyway, what does the audience do as the bride comes down the aisle? They stand up. Why do they stand up? Well, it's because the preacher says everybody stand up, right? And it'd be awkward if you didn't, right? No, the reason that we stand up, it's a sign of honor and respect to the bride, right? And I was thinking in other several things that we do where we stand for the bride. When we say the Pledge of Allegiance, and we did that for a while here. Maybe we should get back to that some more, but we would stand as a sign of honor and respect for our flag, right? The other day, I went to watch Brett play a game in Webb City, and I got off work, and I was headed there, and I was just a few minutes late, and I was walking in, and I saw the table where they take your money to get into the game. I saw that lady stand up, and I thought she was walking away, and I was like, all right, I get in for free. You know, I missed having to pay. But as I got closer, I heard something, and what I heard was the national anthem playing. And, you know, I noticed, and this may not be everywhere, but there in Webb City that day, everybody at the concession stand, and I looked behind me, people in the parking lot stopped right where they were. I don't know why I couldn't hear it, but once I heard it, everybody stopped and stood for the flag, and they stood for the national anthem. Why? It's a sign of honor and respect, right? Maybe tradition a little bit. Why we do some of that? But there are things that we stand for, right? As a sign of honor. And this morning, I want us all to begin to think about giving honor where it's due. Do you know that there is a blessing in giving honor where it's due? And I was, with this being Mother's Day, I was thinking about the commandment that we're given, and not just commandment, but instruction and guidance. And we're going to read here in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and then Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 3, talking about honoring our father and mother. Deuteronomy 5:16 says this, says, "Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Ephesians chapter 6, quoting from this passage, right? I want to read this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 3, verse number 2, actually. Actually, let's go back to verse number 1. We can't go down to 0, right? But verse number 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." And I was thinking about honoring our father and mother. And you know, the first thing that came to my mind was, well, it's easy for me to honor my mother because she's here, and I can express to her my respect and my love for her. But I was like, you know, this is just the honest thought that I had. Well, how can I honor my father because he's no longer with us? And the Lord began to share with me, you know, even though we may not be in physical proximity, you know, do you know I can still honor my father in what I do? I can honor my father in his memory. And I know some of us are in that place this morning without our mothers. We can still honor them. Amen. And I encourage us to do that. The scripture here says that we need to obey our parents, but verse number 2 says to honor your father and mother. And it talks about the blessing that comes with that. And did you catch that in Deuteronomy and here in Ephesians? It says, so that you may live long upon the earth, right? That your days will be lengthened. How many believe that's true? That if we will honor our father and mother, that he will lengthen our days. But it also says that, I like the way it's worded here in Ephesians. It says that it may be well with you. How many of us want it to be well with us? Can I tell us, back when we were kids, if we didn't honor our father and mother, it wasn't well with us. Right? And maybe we have a little bit more of that today. Blessing now of honoring our father and our mother. But I was also thinking about, you know, all the things and all the people that are worthy of our honor. You know, above that, Jesus is worthy of our honor. If we will honor him, guess what? I believe this with all my heart this morning, that it will be well with us if we put him in the proper place, right? There is a blessing of giving honor where it's due. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I've also written down here Mark chapter 6. These accounts mirror each other almost word for word, maybe varying slightly depending on which translation that you use. But I read this the other day, and it really challenged me in some areas, and let it challenge us this morning. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to look specifically at verse 57 and 58, but I want to back up to verse number 53, just so we can get context here. It says, "It came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed there. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, 'Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brother and James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things? Verse 57 says, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Verse 58 says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I want to leave us, or not leave us, I'm not done yet, all right? You know, that's the shortest sermon ever, right? But I want us to take hold of this thought this morning, that when we fail to give honor where it's due, that sometimes we withhold it and we say, well, that person is not worthy of my honor. That person is not worthy of my respect. And we think as we do that we're withholding that from them because and they're missing out. Can I share some truth with us? When we withhold honor to where it's due, that person's not missing out because I believe they'll still receive honor from the Lord and honor from other people. But when we withhold honor from where it's due, we're the ones that miss out. And I want to just pick up a few things from this passage. When we fail to give honor, a lot of times it's because we fail to honor the office because of the person. Does that make sense? There are people in positions of authority, and we dishonor that because of the person's character, because of the person's actions, because of different things, right? And here in this passage, Jesus was the Messiah, right? Jesus was a prophet. Jesus was one who was worthy of the honor. But why did they withhold the honor from him? Did you catch that? As they looked at Jesus, what happened? They said, isn't this Joseph and Mary's son? And isn't this, they listed his brothers and his sisters, and they saw Jesus as a son. They saw him as a brother, and they did not honor him because of it. It says they failed to honor him, right? And Jesus said, a prophet's not without honor in his own country and in his own house. They failed to honor him as a teacher, as a prophet. They failed to honor him as the Messiah, right? In verse 58, I don't think it's just coincidence that this scripture is here right after Jesus said that a prophet is without honor in his own country. He goes on to say, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because of honor not being given where it was due, it said Jesus, there are many things that maybe he wanted to do and was willing to do, but did not because of honor not being given, right? All right. Chew on that for a little bit, all right? I believe that's truth. I want to say this morning. The office is always worthy of honor and respect. Not the person, all right, but the office. And the way that y'all are looking at me this morning, I don't know if you agree with that. I want to say this. The position that I'm in as pastor, I don't desire honor. I don't honor or don't desire respect. But you know what? The office of a pastor does deserve that. And I'm not saying that for anything of myself, okay? But that can go in a lot of areas. A lot of areas. And I think sometimes kids at school, we don't like our teachers. They're mean to us. Right? And I've heard some stories of some teachers being dishonored. Guard against that, young people. They're worthy, not the person. Well, sometimes, but the office is always worthy. And I want to say this. You know, I think even in our country, over the past however long, even the church has fallen trap into not honoring the office of those in authority over us. Okay? And I'm not being political here, all right? I'm just speaking some truth, that the office is always worthy of honor and respect. And I'm going to stop there before I get myself in trouble, all right? But when we fail to give honor, we miss out. Jesus did not many mighty works there. When we fail to give honor where it's due, at times we miss out. Amen? There are times, I want us to turn to Numbers chapter 12. Came across this passage this week. It's interesting to me. I gleaned some things from this. There are times when we will be dishonored by those that are close to us. And that can bring some hurt. I want to just read this passage here. Numbers chapter 12. I'm going to read verses. Let's just read verses 1 through 12 here. It says, Miriam and Aaron, they spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down on the pillar of the cloud, and the cloud, and it stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, when ye were not afraid to speak against my servant Moses, why were ye not afraid to speak against him, he said. Verse number 9 says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when she comes out of his mother's womb. Goes on to say, Moses cries out for Miriam's healing there in the rest of the chapter there. What was going on? If you didn't know, Moses had two siblings, right? Aaron and Miriam. And I was thinking about this in line with Mother's Day. Not much is talked about Moses' mother. We were given a few things. Was her name Jochebed? Is that right? Was that her name? We read about her when Moses was a baby, right? And because of the culture and the threat against the children at the time, she put Moses in a basket and pushed him down the river, right? And we know that Moses went into Pharaoh's house and was raised. But I was thinking about that mother. I think she did some things right. Right? If you look at the three children that she raised, Moses, great servant of God, Aaron was the high priest, right? Miriam, some say she was one of the first worship leaders. I don't know if that's, I heard that this week, and I was just thinking, you know what, she trained her children right, but at times, They didn't always get it right, right? And in this passage, Miriam and Aaron, they were upset with Moses. What were they upset with him about? Did you read that? They were upset with who he married. And they began to question him, and they began to, and we're not really given insight as to what it was they didn't like about this. They refer to her as this Ethiopian woman, right? They didn't like it. How did God feel about how Aaron and Miriam were treating their brother? It said there in was it verse number 9? It says the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, right? He wasn't pleased. He wasn't pleased with their action. Number one, I believe this is why God wasn't pleased with them, is because they were speaking against not just their brother, but they were speaking against God's servant. And he told them, what did he tell them? He said, I want you all to get to the door, right? I'm going to meet you at the door. Have you ever heard that? A parent say, I want you all three here, and I want you here now. That's what God did, right? And says he was not pleased because they were speaking against the person, Moses, right? God's servant. But I believe also he was displeased because they did not honor their brother. And physically, they were brother and sister. Spiritually, brother and sister. And I want to say this, that I think God's not pleased when we speak against our brother and our sister. And there may be time when he calls us to the door and gives us some instruction, right? I want you to take note of what Miriam must have been really dishonoring, right? Because she was the one that, what happened to her? Her skin changed color, right? Could it have been, maybe I'm just speculating here, they didn't like the culture and maybe the things that Moses' wife was brought up in, and what happened to her? Her skin now changed. Another lesson for another day there. But God was not pleased because there was dishonor shown from those who knew better, from those who should love one another. And I want to say this. I'm tired of hearing about brother against brother. And I'm tired of hearing about quarrelings amongst believers. And if I'm tired of it, how do you think God feels? I believe he's not pleased. And so we don't want to be part of that, amen? And I'm not saying that we are, but I'm just talking about we hear a lot. We need to honor one another. We need to honor our brothers, and we need to honor our sisters. Amen? Whether or not they say, well, they don't deserve it. Again, the office of brother and sister does, right? And I'm not saying that we always agree, and I'm not saying there's not there's place for correction, and there's place for restoration, right? But sometimes we nitpick, and sometimes we not pleased with what someone's done, although they're doing exactly what God told them to do, right? So Lord, help us in that. And you know, I found I can be dishonored by a lot of people, and sometimes it rolls right off. It doesn't bother me, but you know, when it hurts is when people that know better, and when people that I thought really loved me. Amen. Let's not be part of that. But there is a blessing. My last passage of scripture. And I told you this is not a typical Mother's Day message, right? So, hold on. There is a blessing in restoring honor. Amen. Genesis chapter 9. Y'all familiar with the story of Noah? Noah and the ark, right? And they were on there as it rained 40 days and 40 nights. And then until the floodwaters receded, they remained on the ark, right? We're going to pick up as they get off of the ark in Genesis chapter 9, verse number 18. They had just been shown the rainbow, the token of God's covenant promise, right, that he would never again flood the earth. Verse number 18 says, the sons of Noah that went forth out of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread, all right, through them. Came all of us, right? Through these three. Verse number 20 says, and Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunk, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and he told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders, and went backward, and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant, and God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. There was a blessing, this last point that I wanted to make, there was a blessing in restoring honor. What had happened in this passage? Noah, the scripture says, was a friend of God, right? Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. But again, was Noah perfect? Noah would make he made some mistakes, right? He had some faults, and whatever happened here in this passage, it says that he became drunk, but it says he was uncovered in his tent, and says that his son Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. What happened? Ham saw his father's flesh and began to talk about it. He began to tell everybody about it. Guess what I saw? Guess what I heard? Guess what I witnessed? Right? He saw the flesh. Again, I want to encourage us to not look at the flesh. I'll be honest. In my flesh, I mess up sometimes. When we see that, when we see fault and we see these things take place, what do we do? It says that the Ham saw his father's flesh and began to go and tell others about it, right? But verse 23 records of Shem and Japheth. They took a garment and they laid it upon their shoulders and they went backward. Why did they go backwards? Because they didn't want to partake, and they didn't want to see what their brother had told them about, right? They chose not to see that. What were they doing? They were honoring their father, right? Was he worthy of that? You say, well, he shouldn't have been in that place at that time in that condition. Again, office. The father is always worthy, right, of honor. Shem and Ham, they chose not to see it, and they covered his flesh, and they restored honor to their father, right? And I want you to see what happened. Those who spread dishonor and those who honored, right? Did you catch that? Ham, because of his the dishonor shown to his father, and even through his actions later, says not only was he cursed, but it said, cursed be Canaan. Who was Canaan? Who was Canaan? Ham's son, right? So the blessing that was missed out was not just on the one who did it, but it carried on to generation. I want to say we have to be careful, because things that we subject ourselves to and things that we open ourselves up to, we could be in danger of setting a path for our ancestors or for our descendants. All right? So be on guard of that. But those who restored, what that restored honor, what did Noah do? There was blessing. Right? I want to ask you this question. In that time, was Noah worthy of honor? Obviously, there's a disagreement about that, right? I say that he was, because he was their father. All right? And as they restored the honor of their father, guess what followed? Blessing followed. How many of us want blessing? So are we sowing honor or dishonor today? And I can't answer that for you, and you can't answer that for me. But I want to be one who sows honor where it's due. Amen? Giving honor where it's due. Number one, the greatest one that is worthy of our honor is Jesus. Amen? My question this morning is, are we honoring Him? And this is a truth that I've found in my own life. If I'm honoring the Lord as I should, and as Scripture teaches, and as the Spirit leads, if I'm honoring the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, you know, I don't have a problem giving honor other places where it's due. That follows. And so let's get our honor in the right place to the Lord, and I believe it will follow other places, and honor will be given where it's due. Amen? I'm asking us to stand together just for a moment. Cheryl, if you will, come to the piano. We are going to honor our mothers here in just a moment.